This program is intended for print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to A Positive Outlook, an audio journal production highlighting optimistic news stories. Material is selected with the interests of its audience in mind and with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. This program is funded in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. My name is Ava Sardina, and I am your volunteer reader. The following articles are from goodnewsnetwork.org. Windows broken into become earrings in one woman's quest to keep glass out of landfills. By Andy Corboy. Car break-ins in the Bay Area are down but not out. From each one of these ugly surprises, local artisan Sydney Jones creates a surprising amount of beauty. Using a kitchen top kiln, she takes advantage of safety glass's crystalline structure to quickly turn the broken pieces into floral-themed earrings of jade green. It not only helps divert long-lived glass from piling up in landfills, but diverts a little bit of the anger over the break-in, too. I was actually overwhelmed by the community response to the reuse of glass. I never would have thought that it'd be reclaimed glass that people would get excited about, Jones told CBS News Bay Area. She recycles glass in several ways through her small shop in Oakland called Odd Commodities. Missed the opportunity to call it Oddity Commodities there, Sydney. But the most popular is her Street Revival collection, a simple selection of four patterns of molten safety glass from car windows. She typically collects the glass herself with a broom and dustpan. Neighbors or fans of hers reach out when there's been a break-in somewhere in the neighborhood, and she quickly arrives to sweep up. The most common glass recycling in the U.S. involves extreme heat and is therefore more likely to be carbon-intensive and expensive, prohibitively so. It's not uncommon for trash collection companies to just resort to landfills rather than investing in the expensive recycling method. Jones's customers are pleased that they can reduce this impact, even in their own small way. Eight-year-old's Sweet Monsters drawing chosen as winning design to decorate Real Train by Andy Corboy. Now from the Netherlands comes the delightful story of an 8-year-old's dream design made reality on the carriages of a very special train. Hosted by the National Train Operator, NS, the NS Drawing Competition invites children from all over the country to submit drawings to be used as an exterior design for one of the operator's trains. 8-year-old Fulane from Zutphen near Utrecht won the competition's 2025 edition, which experienced a record number of entries. Over 1,200 children took place. From jungle trains full of animals to flying locomotives and fantasy creatures that move along the track, all drawings combined humor, fantasy, and adventure, NS wrote in a statement. Fulane's concept was the Sweet Monster Train, which she got to see firsthand at the competition's conclusion in Utrecht's Moeban station. Fulane worked with a professional illustrator, Jit Piet, to cover the train cars in friendly monsters, deliberately designed to be impossible to scare anyone as they crawl and slither along the exterior. Her entry was presented as an ingenious design that would allow the operator to print the design out at scale on large decal stickers, no paint needed. Then, Fulane arrived with her family to cut the ribbon at the opening of the intercity train next to competition judge Dan Schutt, a board member of NS. With the drawing competition, NS wants to inspire children in a playful way for train travel, the translated statement from NS said. Children often experience a train journey as an adventure, much more than we sometimes realize as adults. By focusing on their imagination and really bringing one dream train to life, we show how special travel can be through children's eyes. Dog sits down in the middle of the road unmoving until an officer follows to save her owner. By Andy Corboy. From Washington State comes the story of a senior citizen being saved by his senior canine, who risked her life obstructing traffic in order to find help. The unnamed 84-year-old owner of this beautiful pooch named Gita fell, hurt his leg, and couldn't move. Gita then ran down to the main road where she stood on the paving lines waiting for someone to stop. That someone was Deputy Wright, who was patrolling that particular area of Stevens County. Seeing neither house nor owner, Wright alighted on the road to try to get Gita into his patrol car, but the dog wouldn't budge. Visiting nearby residences, Wright couldn't identify the dog's owner. Sensing something amiss, Wright went back to the dog, which was now lying on the center line, a statement from the sheriff's office read. Wright tried to move the dog yet again, but this time she took off up a steep, unmarked, poorly traveled side road. Wright followed the dog, and it led him to a small summer cabin. He started checking around the area and observed an elderly man lying on the ground calling for help a short distance from the cabin. The 84-year-old man, who also had other medical conditions needing regular medications, fell and injured his leg. He laid there for hours and may have had serious consequences if he hadn't been found. We credit Gita for saving his life that day. The loyalty and heroism of our furry friend never ceases to amaze us, the office wrote. Second cousin of the injured man, Pat Lolivera, praised Deputy Wright for following his instincts and Gita for her incredible intelligence and dedication. Vancouver's teddy bear doctor stitches together more than just plushes, but memories too. By Andy Corboy. Ruth Hosman has repaired hundreds of stuffed animals over the years since she retired. Whether it was an overzealous child, a close encounter with a dog, or just too much loving, there's no damage that she can't fix. From a mass-produced SpongeBob SquarePants to a 115-year-old hand-sewn bear coddled through five generations, Hosman says that her favorite part of her work is the stories behind each toy. She's made every kind of repair on a stuffed animal that you can think of, from reattaching eyes, limbs, and heads, to fur grafts, to stitch-ups, stuffing transplants, and even voice box repair. If she doesn't have the material on hand, because it's the wrong texture or color, she'll scour local thrift shops until she finds a donor. I learn something new almost every time I fix one, she told CBC News' Michelle Gomez. It's a pleasure talking to the people and finding out the bear's history. There's a lot of poignant stories. It's not uncommon for Hosman to repair a bear and receive a thank you card from its owner, a gesture that makes all the needlework worth it. CBC says that she's currently training an orderly to take over the work when her fingers have lost their dexterity, but for now, she's going to keep the operating theater open, since the stories behind each and every bear, dog, monkey, and elephant just pull her heart. Everyone's liver is only 3 years old, Thus, World War II vet becomes oldest organ donor in U.S. history at 100. By Nathan Frederick. 2 hours after Dale Steele passed away, his son received a call. The circle of life was spinning, and Dale's legacy would soon live on. Even at 100 years old, his liver was 100% healthy, and he could donate it. How could that even be? His son Roger wondered. Officials from the organ donation nonprofit Live On Nebraska explained it to Steele's children. The way that the liver constantly replaces cells and regenerates makes its functional age usually less than 3 years old. His liver was successfully transplanted into a grateful patient just one day after his death, and at 100 years old, the procedure made Dale the oldest organ donor in U.S. history. One of the myths that we hear out in the community often is that I'm too old to be an organ donor. I might not be healthy enough to be a donor. And I think that a case like this truly proves that there is no age limit. Kyle Herber, president and CEO of Live On Nebraska, told Nebraska Public Media. Dale was born near Ainsworth, Nebraska in 1925 and served in Europe during World War II. After that, the cattle rancher returned home and met his wife Doris, who he was married to for 72 years. Dale remained active throughout his life by raising cattle, working at a farming co-op, and selling irrigation and grain handling equipment. If he could help people, he would, but he wasn't showy about it, said Roger. He had a strong body that was able to carry him through his 100th birthday. I think that came from hard work. So as Dale's life was nearing its end in February, the organ donor group inquired about his organs. The answer was an easy one. We consented without any hesitation, Roger said. We thought that this was the kind of thing, if he were able to be asked, he would agree to. I just know that his response would be, well, if I can help someone else, then fine. According to Herber, more than 100,000 patients in the U.S. are waiting for a life-saving organ transplant, including nearly 400 in Nebraska alone. And it's estimated that approximately 17 people die every day while waiting for a transplant. Dale was able to save at least one of them. This is a story about a life of service that didn't end at death, Herber told Live On Nebraska. Mr. Steele lived a full century giving to others, and through organ donation, that generosity continues in a way that'll impact lives for years to come. North America's largest wildlife overpass opens for animals to safely cross in Colorado. By Good News Network. Moose, elk, black bears, and mountain lions are now able to cross 6 lanes of interstate highway traffic along I-25 near Larkspur, Colorado, thanks to the opening of North America's largest wildlife overpass. The Colorado Department of Transportation completed construction of the structure in Douglas County in December by covering the overpass surface with dirt and vegetation. Completed in less than a year, ahead of schedule and on budget, the Greenland Overpass was specifically designed to provide safe passage for elk and pronghorn, which need more space. It connects 39,000 acres of habitat on both sides of the 6-lane highway between Larkspur and Monument, and completes a system of smaller overpasses and underpasses constructed to improve safety along the 18-mile stretch near Castle Rock. Prior to the system being built, there was an average of 1 wildlife vehicle crash per day in the fall and spring, when wildlife is most active. The state's research shows that the 5 underpasses are successfully being used by both large and small mammals. The I-25 Greenland Overpass is a momentous feat, said Governor Jared Polis. Colorado is leading the way in reducing wildlife vehicle collisions, and protecting critical habitats for generations to come. Transportation Director Shoshana Liu said the wildlife crossing system, called the I-25 South Gap Project, is expected to reduce wildlife vehicle crashes by 90%. Measuring 200 feet wide and 209 feet long, it covers 41,800 square feet, 3,900 square meters, making it the single largest bridge structure for wildlife in North America and one of the largest in the world. 76 girders hold up the bridge deck, allowing big game animals like moose, bear, mountain lions, elk, mule deer, and pronghorn to pass, while 100,000 vehicles travel daily below. After more than 9 years of planning and work, Colorado Parks and Wildlife is excited, said Wildlife Manager Matt Martinez. We look forward to deer, elk, bears, mountain lions, and many other species safely crossing I-25, once a major barrier to migration and wildlife movements. Funding and expertise for the project came from a multi-agency public-private partnership, including the Federal Highway Administration. However, a federal grant award called the Wildlife Crossings Pilot Program provided the bulk of the construction cost, which ended up being $15 million. Animals are streaming into 400 children's hospitals from San Diego Zoo's dedicated 24-hour channel. By Andy Corboy. For most kids, you can't beat a trip to the zoo. And for those unfortunate kids whose immune systems are too weak to endure such an excursion, they now have the chance to experience it from their hospital beds. That's thanks to a clever partnership involving the San Diego Zoo's 24/7 streaming service, one that brings the sights and sounds, if not the smells, of the zoo directly to them. The San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance's Wildlife Explorers channel streams around-the-clock animal encounters and educational programming in hospitals, bringing the joy of the zoo into patient rooms. What started locally at Rady Children's Hospital and the Ronald McDonald House Charities of San Diego has grown into a global network now reaching more than 400 hospitals and medical facilities across 48 states and 12 countries besides, with an estimated 25 million viewers annually. The channel features wildlife filming from across the globe, but also close encounters and presentations with the zoo's animals, 24/7 wildlife cameras in the zoo enclosures, and other tailor-made educational programming. Many of our patients have weakened immune systems, so they're unable to go to places like the zoo, and the channels brought the zoo to them, said Margaret Fitzgerald, manager of the Hematology and Oncology Unit at Rady Children's Hospital. It's had a huge impact on our patients. I do recall one time that there was a little girl who was about 3 and her mom had to go to work, and she was sad because her mom had to go, but then we turned on the zoo channel and she just lit up. The programs also expanded beyond hospitals to senior centers and clinics, and in 2023, tablets preloaded with the channel's content were delivered to a children's hospital and school in Ukraine, further expanding access globally. Teenage lifesaver awarded one of Scouting's highest honors after harrowing whitewater rescue. By Andy Corbley. A teenage Texan has earned a commendation given fewer than 300 times in the history of the Boy Scouts after saving his scout leader from drowning in rapids. Devin Champanoy was one of several teenage scouts from Houston rafting down Class 3 rapids at a summer camp in Georgia's Blue Ridge Mountains. Scout leader David Lemley was at the stern and on a particularly rough patch, lost his balance and fell into the water. Climbing back in, He laughed and said how fun it was in the hot summer day. When further down the river, Lemley fell in again, however, fun was the farthest thing from his mind. His foot was stuck under the seat of the raft while his head and torso were under water. Splayed out across the side of the raft, unable to move, his opportunities to breathe came only when the water level happened to be low enough that his head emerged. Meanwhile, his helmet bought him vital time as his head bounced off rocks as the raft surged down the river. Taking a deep breath and steadying himself, Champanoy, just 13 years old at the time, clambered across and released Lemley's foot before kayakers helped complete the rescue. "I have no doubt that if Devon hadn't released my foot, I was gonna die," Lemley told KHOU 11 News. "It took a while for me to take in the fact that this happened and that I saved a life," Champanoy said in the same interview, admitting that he just acted on instinct. Lemley's foot was broken in the ordeal, and Champanoy had to take the role of pilot as there were still 20 minutes of rapids to get through. He kept everyone calm and focused until the job was finished. When all was said and done, Devon, having been recommended by his scout leader, was awarded the Honor Medal with crossed palms for unusual heroism demonstrated in the course of saving a life. Fewer than 300 of these medals have been awarded in the more than 100-year history of the Boy Scouts of America. It came with a special recognition from Texas Governor Greg Abbott as well. Now 15, Champanoy's attempting to become an Eagle Scout, and KHOU 11 had to remark that they felt that it would be a breeze for the young hero. Community rallies around local autistic barista after his tip jar was stolen. By Andy Corbley. An autistic barista who had a day's worth of tips stolen from his coffee shop was left speechless after his community rallied to his side. Michael Coyne knows most of the people who get a coffee from his shop, Red, White, and Brew, and so the theft of his tips felt extremely personal. Covering the costs of a recent move to a larger location in Warwick, Rhode Island, the shop currently operates at a loss, and the tip jar is Coyne's only source of free cash flow. Coyne has autism, ADHD, and bipolar disorder. He was fostered by Sheila Coyne when he was 10 years old, who later adopted him. Red, White, and Brew was opened by Sheila with her retirement savings as a way to guarantee her son fulfilling employment, and despite its first year running smack dab into enforced business closures resulting from COVID-19, the shop was a success. The store employs workers and sells products made by people with mental disabilities and quickly became a part of the community fabric. He was really interested in food service, and I thought, what better way to connect him to a community than a coffee shop? Sheila told the Washington Post's Sydney page. To me, it just made sense. When he recently found out that the $20 in tips that he accumulated throughout the day was suddenly snatched, he was deeply upset. The day after, the chief of the Warwick Police Department came by for a brew, and after hearing about the theft, quickly brought over the materials for a new tip jar with a lid. He told the Coynes that he'd investigate. Sheila decided to make a Facebook video announcing the theft and warning people to stay alert. Commenters were infuriated to hear that someone would do something like that, among whom was the mayor of Warwick, Frank Picazzi. Red, White, and Brew is a very special place run by wonderful people, he wrote in a post sharing Sheila's video. I've come to know Michael very well, and believe me, it's not the money that's bothering him. He's hurt. The following day, people streamed into the coffee shop, each one leaving a tip in the jar, including one woman who left $100 after telling Michael that her own son is autistic and that the barista inspires her to believe that he can have a decent life as a working adult. The next day was exactly the same. The mayor came too, and soon Michael was given $900 in tips. That was the most special part, Sheila said. It was truly just one person after another, leading with such kindness and grace that it renewed my love for humans and humanity. Michael admitted that the gesture left him speechless. Fun fashion shoot makes residents in a senior home feel 20 years younger. By Good News Network. Senior home residents were left feeling 20 years younger after posing for a photo shoot wearing high fashion wigs and colorful clothing. Residents at Maplewood Court, an hour outside London, were treated to the glam-up session thanks to the facility's lifestyle team, who were inspired by a video on social media. Providing an outrageous wardrobe of flower-studded wigs, sunglasses, hats, and giant pearls, the photo shoot had the 72 residents abuzz with excitement. The fun afternoon was the brainchild of employees Laura Taylor and Jill Morgan, who kept it a secret, only leaking bits of excitement. There was such a buzz in the home. We loved the idea of giving our residents the chance not just to dress up, but to go over the top and feel fabulous, Miss Taylor told SWNS News Agency. Centenarian Hilda Howes said that it provided a new lease of life. I loved it. They made me look 80 instead of 100. It was so much fun to dress up in all the bright clothes. The pair sourced the wigs online, while other employees contributed jewelry, scarves, and sunglasses. Deb Eve, a care assistant at the Maplewood home in Maidstone, did the ladies' makeup while Morgan took the photographs with the help of her daughter. We were thrilled that everyone was so keen to get dressed up, Morgan said. The whole thing lifted everyone's moods. It was wonderful to see. The team will now print the photos for residents to display in their rooms, and a photo exhibition for the lobby is also in the works. One 92-year-old resident, Violet Sires, gushed, "I'll be able to look at it every day and see how fabulous I looked." You've been listening to A Positive Outlook. This program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. This is Ava Sardina. I'll be with you again soon. Thank you for listening.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
This is your Better Business Bureau with our tip of the week. It's always a good idea to think carefully about how you're going to pay for a purchase. Credit cards have significant fraud protection, but some payment methods don't. Wiring money is risky because it's nearly impossible to get your money back. That's also true for reloadable cards and gift cards. Scammers want you to pay in a way that's quick and makes it hard for you to get your money back. Scammers may also tell you to send money through a mobile payment app. If you get an unexpected email or text message that asks you to send money, don't click on any links. Log into the app to see if you have any requests for money. If you don't, the email or text is probably a phishing scam. If you sent money to a scammer, report it to the mobile payment app and ask to reverse the transaction right away. Remember to call BBB if you suspect a scam or want to report a scam. Even if you don't lose money, your scam report will help prevent additional victims. Our toll-free number is 1-866-566-9222.